Now entering the truth zone, deep into the vortex of the information revolution with your host, Michael B.
My name is Michael B., and this is The Truth Zone, coming to you live on this beautiful June 28th, 2017, in North Dallas, Texas. And today, it probably already happened, we hit the 1,400 listens mark today. And I thank my audience very much. The show is increasing its numbers daily, and I appreciate all of you that have steadily listened. I appreciate very much, and a deep thanks goes to my Facebook friend, John Pittman, who sends me like almost hourly links to look at, and then I decide, ultimately, obviously, what I'm going to talk about, and of course, my own research. Now, the other day, as I explained yesterday, I, of course, was called a conspiracy theorist and a tinfoil hat wearer because I gently opened the discussion about 9/11 being an inside job, and I used the Grenfell Tower as an example, and I'm not going to reiterate what I said yesterday, but just that I'm still getting comments, and apparently a few people are having discussions, which I've left that discussion because I trained myself after the initial post, which in Facebook language, the op, original post. I've trained myself to not give more than three responses. Three responses or less, because I've come to see that by the third response, I'm just going to get more of the same thrown at me. I have been unable to convert, if that's the right word, convert a liberal, right? I've not been able to convert someone to accept another view of 9/11. But what I've done over the years is that I have shared knowledge with people that are open to listening to new ideas, and I've reinforced basically what they've already known, and I've helped them reach the next level or levels. I don't want to say enlightenment because I don't want to get too cocky, but let's just say that I've strengthened what they already know or suspected they knew, and I've also shown them that they're not alone in this thing. So that's what I've been able to do. But to actually convert, you know, to bring someone onto our team, and when I say our team, I mean, look, my audience, you people, I know that you know a lot of what I'm telling you. I'm probably giving you more details. I'm probably tying loose ends together. And I'm going to do that today. Today's going to be a big one, a really big one. Now, I'm not looking to go too far into overtime today. I want to keep it close to the hour as possible. So I'll probably carry over this show into tomorrow. But it's going to be big, big stuff today that I did some research yesterday, did some research earlier this morning before the show, and I'm going to tie in some common denominators. And as you see by the title of the show in the picture, Resist the New World Order. That's one of my favorite pictures. I've used it for years, off and on. I'm going to be using it again. It's really not just resisting the New World Order on the earthly level, because I've tied in both the spiritual and the earthly. It's really resisting Satan, because that's what this ultimately comes down to. You're either with the cross, as I've said, or you are against the cross. There's no middle ground. You can't dance in between two spheres. You're either on the team or you're the adversary. That's just it. That's what it boils down to. Because all these other counterfeit religions and ideologies ultimately endorse and accept a very aberrant behavior, which we're going to get into today. And they either do that directly sponsoring it, or they tell you that, well, you know, it's who they are. You know, again, the situational ethics that I've talked about, the arbitrary morality, the gray areas, the no rights and wrongs, that's a very indirect, but nonetheless, it is a sponsorship and it's an acceptance of this aberrant, unnatural, satanic behavior. And you have to understand why certain ideologies are being sponsored and accepted and really thrusted, if I could use that word, thrusted into our mainstream society, and why traditional code of ethics and morals are not just being reduced, but and not just being persecuted, but really, really hammered in a very disgusting, mean, and cruel way. Like, how dare we traditionalists not evolve to the next level? And really nasty, nasty insults. So it's not even trying to win something on an intellectual level, because they can't. You cannot intellectualize infanticide, homosexuality, pedophilia, censorship, getting into the lighter areas, censorship, debauchery. You just can't do it. There's no winning that intellectually. You can't. Because these kinds of things defy the laws of nature. And we, ladies and gentlemen, still are animals, okay? We're still in the animal kingdom. We're still mammals. And no other mammals on this planet act the way we do. And now I just thought of it. I forgot to grab a clip. I'll do that tomorrow. And it's interesting because there's the new Planet of the Apes movie coming out. And the clip I wanted to play was from the first movie. I'll grab it for tomorrow anyway, just to play it so you know what I'm talking about. We are the only ones that act the way we do in the entire animal kingdom. So, you know, one can make the argument that we're even lower than the animals in the things we do. And if, look, if people think that this kind of behavior is evolution into a higher stage of man, I'm going to respectfully, and that's a tongue-in-cheek way of saying it, I'm going to respectfully decline, and I will gladly stay in my unevolved ignorance, because I am not going to join that team. So when I open the discussion about 9/11, I'm a conspiracy theorist and I'm a tinfoil hat wearer. Well, we first have to understand where that term conspiracy theorist came from and why it's used not in a constructive, critical way, but in a very insulting, backhanded slap sort of way. And it's really how it's used. It's not said in a constructive, critical tone. It's said in a very insulting way and in a very demeaning way. Oh, you're just another conspiracy theorist. You're another tinfoil hat wearer. As if I actually go into my utility closet or my pantry, and I actually grab the aluminum foil, rip out a huge piece, and put it on top of my head. And, you know, it's just a very demeaning an insulting term for questioning a situation. And I'm going to say it that way because I'm going to get into the more meat of it. So the term, and this is coming from paulcraigroberts.org, and looks like he has something called the Institute for Political Economy. So the term conspiracy theory was invented by the CIA in order to prevent disbelief of official government stories. Now, it was my understanding that it was created during the investigation of the JFK administration, and when the Warren Commission came out, we were supposed to believe all of it, like as if anybody read it. I did. And so anyone that questioned that Lee Harvey Oswald was the lone gunman and that actually government forces and other entities were involved, you were totally discredited and called a rider. Oh, I'm just saying this now, but like a rider of a unicorn, if you will, and believing in leprechauns and whatnot. You were a conspiracy theorist and you were basically made out to be a joke. Well, it seems that it might have even gone earlier. So let's take a look. Ron Unz reports on the cold shoulder given to an extensively researched book that concludes that World War II hero General George Patton was murdered by the CIA because he became a powerful critic of Washington. And you can see that at unz.com/RUNC/was-general-patton-assassinated. You can take a look at that. When I was reading this, the name Seth Rich came to mind. Now, a lot of people on the right who will not believe 9/11 was an inside job have no problem believing that possibly, and this is alleged because there's no proof, right? Possibly the Clintons or those tied to the Clintons killed Seth Rich because he may have hacked, and I know it's DNC insiders, it wasn't Russians, hacked certain emails of, let's say, I don't know, Debbie Wasserman Schultz and John Podesta, perhaps Hillary Clinton, Uma Ahmadine, whoever, and exposed emails to WikiLeaks, who then exposed these emails to the public, which may have given Trump the election. Maybe. But people on the right have no problem, and it's a conspiracy, isn't it? I mean, isn't that a huge conspiracy theory that the Clintons had Seth Rich whacked because he leaked what supposedly was underhanded confidential information. Wouldn't you say that's a conspiracy theory? So where are their tinfoil hats? So I'm wearing a tinfoil hat if I don't believe that Lee Harvey Oswald wasn't alone, if he even pulled the trigger. And I'm wearing a tinfoil hat because I think entities within the United States government orchestrated 9/11. But you people on the right, because I consider myself an independent, I'm not a moderate, I will just not play favorites. I call it as I see it. So that's when I say, you people on the right. So you people on the right that believe the Clintons whacked Seth Rich and like 70 or 80 other people that have died mysteriously, that's okay. You're not wearing aluminum foil on your head, though. See, that's the whole point. Just like with this fake news crap. Oh, I see. If I put out an article that you don't like, no matter what the source, and I've used, you look at my posts, ladies and gentlemen, and you know that, people that follow me steadily, I pull stuff from all over the place. Mainstream media and independent outlets all the time. And whether it's independent or whether it's mainstream, depending upon what I put out, from the same people I get, oh, it's fake news. From the blind following sycophants of Trump. Now, I still support Trump. I voted for him. And as far as I'm concerned, I worked very hard in getting him elected. And I feel that I did work very hard for that. But I'm not going to kiss his ass. And I'm not going to blindly follow him. And when I think something isn't cool, like this healthcare bill or his foreign policy, I'm going to talk about it. But I've noticed in the Facebook universe that whatever my source is, if it's deemed as anti-Trump or anti-USA, go Joe, it's fake news. And if I put out a story questioning the mainstream narrative coming from the government or whomever, the same people say, oh, Mr. Conspiracy Theorist is at it again. And I'm blatantly, not even a discussion, I get on my wall in capital letters, you're a stupid idiot. And well, in a moment of weakness, I responded in a not so nice way. And I'm not even going to repeat it on the show, but it was totally out of reflex. I'm still working on that. I'm not perfect. I feel I've shown great improvement in how I respond to insults. But once in a while, in a moment of weakness, maybe now it's like 1 out of 20, 1 out of 30 times, I could get very vicious. And in this one particular person that put that in caps, I was caught off guard. I didn't have time to stop myself and say, hey, you know, let it go. But I snapped back, and it was ugly. And hey, it is what it is. I apologize. And I'm apologizing really to myself for failing. I'm not apologizing to that person because it doesn't matter why, I'm not going to. But so not even a discussion. It's, you're a stupid idiot. And it doesn't matter what the source or what the story is. If I dare to in any way, shape, or form criticize President Trump, or if I talk about possibly that, hey, I don't know, the U.S. government, killed fellow Americans? You know, terrible. Even though from Mario Puzo, Francis Ford Coppola, Oliver Stone, on and on and on, have hinted, they've all hinted about how forces in all of the world governments have orchestrated and influenced events and have basically hijacked and this is strong language here, hijacked our brains to support their cause in a way that they wanted us to, and they manipulated events like a puppet master. And I don't consider myself to be a conspiracy theorist. I am a conspiracy, and Lionel, if you don't know who he is, I don't know if he's still on. He was an attorney. He became a radio host on WABC in New York. Now he has his own deal. He's on Infowars.com here and there, the Alex Jones Show. Lionel coined the phrase, and I really love this, a conspiracy analyst. That's what I am. I analyze stuff that's going on in the world, and whether it's classified as a conspiracy or not, I analyze that data, and then I share it with you. And you do what you want with it. That's what the show is about. The Truth Zone. Something catches my eye, or something is important to me, I will investigate it, I will research it, I will look at multiple sources, mainstream and independent, and I'm going to draw a conclusion based on the common denominators and the tie-ins that I receive. And then I'm going to share it with you, and then you're going to do what you want with it. And obviously, what I'm saying has value because this audience is growing. It grew last week over 120%. I'm on pace to have over 600 listens a month. And that's pretty good for a six-week show that millions of people do podcasts. And once I have the money to get on an affiliate like BBS Radio is one of the ones I syndicate on. But I'm just a podcaster. But the day I have the money to secure a sole spot on their programming calendar, that's when the Truth Zone explodes. Because let's say from 10 a.m., just throwing it out there, from 10 a.m. to from 10 a.m. to noon on Mondays, that's going to be my sole spot. So anybody going on to BBS Radio isn't going to have a choice in shows. If they want a live show, it's going to be my show. And that's when I get into the tens of thousands. Right now, I don't have the money, and I'm being honest, I'm open. I don't have the money to spend $500 a month doing this show. But when I have the money, and I can buy a dedicated spot, you bet. So the fact that I'm on Spreaker.com, millions of shows can be running right now in theory, and I'm getting on par to over 600 listens a month, 6 weeks into this thing. Obviously, you people think I have value, and I am very thankful. So let me go on with this article. So the book that was written by, I guess Ron Unz wrote it, the book was ignored because the U.S. media and the public have been programmed to regard the U.S. government as a truth teller, and those who expose government crimes are conspiracy theorists. Now, the public have been programmed, but the U.S. media, the mainstream media, no, they haven't been programmed. They've been bought and paid for to vilify people that accuse the government of, I'm just going to put it this way, underhanded tactics. Ron Unz says government crimes. I'm going to be nice. I'm going to say underhanded tactics. So the public has been programmed to get on board with the CIA and vilify and insult people that question the motives of the government as not being on the up and up. The media has been bought and paid for to do that. But it seems to me that Facebook universe, which really is like the biggest voice for the American public, what I see happening is that something is fake, not due to the source, not due to the reference, but due to the fact that when people don't agree with what's being put out there, it's fake. Automatically, it's fake. And automatically, I've got aluminum foil sitting on my head as a baseball cap while I'm talking to you or while I'm posting on Facebook. That seems to be what's happening here. Well, you have fun with that. I know better. In 2013, Professor Lance DeHaven Smith, in a peer-reviewed book published by the University of Texas Press, showed that the term conspiracy theory was, oh, and this is what I just said, was developed by the CIA as a means of undercutting critics of the Warren Commission's report. Now, folks, I'm being honest with you. I did not read all of this article prior to the show. I really don't have time to do that. I skim through, I look, I see keywords, and I run with it. I did not read every single piece, and it's just what I said. A peer-reviewed book published by the University of Texas Press showed that the term conspiracy theory was developed by the CIA as a means of undercutting critics of the Warren Commission's report, which I read in full, ladies and gentlemen, that President Kennedy was killed by Oswald. The use of this term was heavily and is still heavily promoted in the media by the CIA. And you can look, you can grab the book on Amazon.com. It's called Conspiracy Theory America Discovering. So, and the keywords are conspiracy theory in America. You know, at some point when I'm able to, I might buy that book because that sounds really interesting. So, the last piece of the article says, it is ironic that the American left, and I'm going to say no, this is written in 2016. No, both sides of the aisle. It is ironic that the American left wing and the American right wing are major enforcers of the CIA strategy to shut up skeptics by branding them conspiracy theorists. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. You that run around, and I'm going to say my audience, I'm talking to you people, and you know who you are, that insult people like me and calling me conspiracy theorists and fake, you have been suckered, you've been brainwashed, and you've been cuckolded by the CIA, folks, and the bought and paid for media. You have been hijacked. You have been blue-pilled. You're blue-pilled, I'm red-pilled, baby. And I take great satisfaction in knowing the truth. Now, speaking of the New World Order, as we know, and as I've discussed ad nauseum, as you know, or as ad nauseum, I have, well, not I, I'm just one of the messengers, the very small ones. Many people, I'm going to give them their due. Alex Jones of Infowars.com, Mike Cernovich, I'll throw his name in. Tony Robinson out of Great Britain, so many others, Zero Heads, Drudge, all of them have said that the U.S. government hijacked by the Illuminati, by the New World Order, have been sponsoring Islamic terrorism and sponsoring this so-called refugee migration flooding into Europe, basically on its way to collapsing countries like Sweden, Germany, France. Great Britain is in a lot of trouble, and also infusing these people in a very roundabout way into the United States of America. For those of you that have had, that have been listening for 6 weeks, know that this is a very hot topic for me, and I've made a lot of different references to that. Now, you got to ask yourselves, why? Why would they be sponsoring the cruelest so-called religion on this planet? The year is 2017. Christians, Jews, Hindus, Buddhists, Rastafarians, whatever, atheists, Taoists, whatever. All of these ideologies, right? We'll just, for now, we'll just call them ideologies. For you people that know me, Christianity is the only one and true faith on this planet. That's how I see it. And until proven otherwise, that's how I'm going to see it. But for now, if we're to put this into one big ball, for now, all of these ideologies combined and put together are not even close to the disgusting, inhumane, sick, and cruelest behavior of the ideology known as Islam that's being done by these animals. And yeah, I'm going to call them animals. They don't deserve. Matter of fact, you know what? Check that. I take that back. That's an insult to the animal kingdom. These human beings, and that's what they are the most cruelest, sickest, mentally unstable individuals on this planet, and yet the world governments are protecting them, moving them into our cultures, destroying our cultures, giving them welfare to the point where their birth rates in some worldwide are between 4 to 6 a family, whereas whites, blacks, and Asians in the industrialized world from Japan to the United States is as low as 1.3 and as high as 1.8 something, but you need 2.1. You need 2.1 children produced per family just to keep the population numbers even, to not face a depopulation. And I've explained this before, and quickly I'll say it again. If we stay at this 1.8 to 1.3 scale, in the next 20 to 40 years, we're going to have a severe depopulation problem worldwide. Except two demographics won't suffer a problem. And that, and especially in the United States and Europe, Muslims and Hispanics. Because those two demographics are way over the 2.1. And so are the Africans. And if you look at them, they are the most poorest of cultures on the economic scale. And if you want to control somebody, if you want to control the world, you've got to end freedom and you've got to end independence. And how does one maintain their freedom and independence through, and unfortunately, through being monetarily solvent. Because when you're monetarily solvent, you don't need the government to support you, and you could tell, and I'm going to be very straight up, you could tell anybody you want to go to hell, to go F themselves. It's true. I'm not saying you should do that. I'm just saying it's true. You're not subservient to anybody. You're not subservient to the government. You're not subservient to a boss. And quite frankly, you're not subservient to your spouse. You're just not. I'm not saying you have to be mean and nasty and beat on everybody. No, quite the opposite. You could be very friendly and nice. What I'm saying is, you're not subservient. Nobody owns your ass. But when you're poor and you're not monetarily solvent, you're not free. It's just the way it is. You are dependent on somebody. And how is it not made clear that this government, the United States government, the European Union, the despots in Africa and Asia, how is it not clear that these governments want to own your ass and want you in a position where you are so weak that you can't even question what they do? Because if you question what they do, you're either in jail in these despotic countries, or you know what? You just get cut off. You get fired from your job. You get the IRS on your ass, as we saw under Lois Lerner, who should be in prison by now. So, hey, you want to call these conspiracy theories and you want to say I've got tinfoil on my head, fine. But, excuse me, it is a conspiracy, but it's not a coincidence that those demographics are exploding. And the other demographics that are used to being free, that are used to being independent, that are the driving force of independent business owners, of independent commerce, of independence, period. Those numbers are dwindling. It is no surprise. So we have to ask ourselves, why is Islam not just being protected, but it's being increased in the United States, in Europe, and only, to my knowledge, Eastern Europe, like Hungary, Poland, and the Czech Republic, Japan, and maybe China, are the only ones in full-blown resistance to this Islamic infestation. That's it. Other than that, the entire world is complicit. I'm not saying every individual person. I'm saying those in charge, these countries are complicit and aiding in the Islamic infestation. And you have to ask yourselves why. And it's usually because, well, they've got a commonality. There's a commonality in their beliefs. So, I'm going to play a clip right now. We've talked about, you know, the term blue blood. You know, keep the royal families, keeping it in the family. And basically, in the blue bloods, in the royalty, there's a lot of incest in there. There's a lot of first cousin marriages. Because if you can't go outside to another royal family within that kingdom, which is why, by the way, and this is just very quick, the British monarchy, they're not British, they're German. Because England needed an heir, couldn't find one, especially a male heir, and they had to go to a fifth cousin in Germany, and you can look that up. They're really the Habsburgs. They changed their names to the Windsors. because they had to keep it within the family. Well, Muslims like to do that too. So here is clip number one by Bill Warner, PhD.
Hi, I'd like to talk to you about a subject that's not frequently mentioned, inbreeding. Do an experiment for yourself. Go to your computer and Google Islam inbreeding, and I think you'll be stunned at the results. You'll find that in the Arab world, 40 to 50% of all marriages are inbred. In Egypt, 40% of the marriages are to a first cousin. In Saudi Arabia, two-thirds of the people who marry a close relative. And in Britain, the Pakistani refugees, 55% of their marriages are to first cousins. Now, the result of inbreeding is genetic damage. You get increased diseases, mental retardation, and lower intelligence. I call inbreeding a crime against the next generation. Now, why is there so much inbreeding in Islam? Well, if you think about it, you know the answer. Because of Muhammad, he married his first cousin, so that makes that process sunnah. The Quran lays out rules of marriage, but it allows first cousins to marry. This is in Quran 4:23. So according to the Sharia, divine law, inbreeding is good. And what are the results of the Sharia? Half of Muslims are inbred, with lower intelligence. Insanity rates are higher with inbred people. And the closer you are in blood relation, the more schizophrenia there is. In Denmark, three times as many Muslims fail the military intelligence test as the average Dane. Two-thirds of all the Muslims in Denmark are illiterate. And in Denmark, education for slow children, slow learners, accounts for a third of their educational budget. It's expensive to have such people. The Sharia is evil, since it dictates the suffering of people is Allah's wish. Now think about this. Islam says it is destined to rule the world. And if it does, inbreeding will be everywhere, and humanity will actually devolve. And this can't be changed, because the Sharia is Allah's law. But why are we silent about Sharia suffering? Why can't we educate about this harm? How can we go about trying to show that this is wrong? Oh, wait a minute. We can't do this because this would be offensive to Muslims. So we won't be including incest in part of the explanation about the beauty of Islam in our schools. Can we find a Muslim who will say that inbreeding is wrong? Will he abjure this? Because science agrees it is wrong. Can we run a social program to educate immigrants who come here about genetic damage? Well, as good as that sounds, because it would reduce suffering, that would be Islamophobic. How evil does something have to get before we can talk about it? I want to prevent a crime against the next generation. Am I a bigot to talk? And are you afraid to talk? This is a serious problem and it needs to be addressed. Again, go out and Google Islam and inbreeding and see what you think. Thank you.
So, there you have it. And of course, Bill Warner makes the point that how dare we not accept Islam in our country? How dare we not accept homosexuality as an alternative norm? We're bigots? We're racists? Islamophobes? Homophobes? No, maybe how about this? Maybe we respect science. Maybe we respect, you know, what's in the DNA code. Maybe we respect natural law. Maybe we respect God and Jesus Christ. Maybe we just respect what's true. How about that? But that's not allowed, you see. And because they really can't give us real proof that Islam is the religion of peace, or that somebody was just born that way, they can't give you that scientific proof. They will never give you that scientific proof, because if there was scientific proof, they would have had it already. Look what medical science can do. Look at all the wonders. They think that they could tell you how the universe was created. They can crossbreed humans and pigs. I'm not going to get into it. They can have two people. They can make a man have lactating breasts. They can do all of these wonders, all of these artificial implantations. But they can't provide for you scientific evidence that a human being with male genitalia is really a woman. They can't do it. They can't do it. They'll never be able to do it. It's an impossibility because it doesn't exist. And they cannot tell you that you should accept Islam funneling into this country, the religion of peace, because it's the right thing to do. They can't do that. And they cannot explain to you why they are the most violent, sickest individuals, and Bill Warner explains why. Because through this inbreeding, they're effed up. They've screwed up their DNA code. This is why, right? You get a dog. You get a golden retriever. You get two golden retrievers, a boy and a girl. Now, you can't have them have intercourse and have puppies because they'll be effed up. You can't even go back to that golden's mother, let's say, and from another breed. You can't even do that. You've got to go to a totally unrelated golden retriever and have your golden retriever copulate with that one to have normal puppies, you see. There's a reason for that. And that's why these people are so sick. And that's why they're also easily controlled. Because, hey, when they're given the opportunity to fulfill Allah's goal of purifying the world with a worldwide Muslim caliphate, they're going to jump at the chance. So you better believe that you could press their buttons and do what they want you. They'll do what they want you to do. And it's easy to control people that are intellectually inferior. And that's not an insult. Bill Warner told you why. It's easier to control an animal than an intellectual human being who knows between right and wrong. You can't. It's harder. You have no chance of converting me into a liberal. You've got no chance. No chance on this planet. The only shot you would have is if I were to cave, because I've got a gun pointed to my head, or I'm going to be told I'm going to be in some gulag tortured forever, and I cave. That's your only shot. You are not going to intellect unless God comes to me in some spiritual epiphany and says, B, you got it all wrong, dude. I'm forth this stuff. Ha! Fat chance. No chance. So you've got no chance in converting me to become part of this transhumanist new age world. You got no shot intellectually. Done. Because I'm not an inbred freak. And I haven't had trauma in my life to attract me to other men. It hasn't happened, and it's not going to happen. So, what's the common denominator? Why are the New World Order attracted to Islam? And the Muslims, if the New World Order is successful in wiping out all other faiths, they're going to wipe out the Muslims. Because the ultimate goal, and I've said this, you've heard it, the ultimate goal is to fulfill Genesis 3:22, and they want to become like gods. They want to be your God. They're going to wipe out everybody. That's the goal. The state will be the supreme God. That's the goal. So the Muslims, maybe they realize they are being used because, you blow yourself up. And you take 100 infidels, they've been led to believe they're going to get 72 virgins. They're going to die a martyr. They're fulfilling Satan, all right. So why is the New World Order promoting these people? Because they've got something in common. They both love pedophilia. Real quick, I'm gonna read this this article from Showbot.com. This came out in 2014. Islam is the religion of homosexuality and pedophilia. This comes out of from Walid Shobat from the Shobat Foundation. And yes, his name sounds Arabic, doesn't it? You bet. Because he's an eyewitness to this stuff. The West in its era under Christianity has not known the phenomenon we call the homosexual movement until the 20th century. Excuse me. During the Christian era, whenever homosexuality was discussed, During the Christian era, whenever homosexuality was discussed, it was almost always considered an aberration imported from the Muslim Orient. When I stop there, I want you to digest that. Imported from the Muslim Orient, which there it was always considered not just an acceptable practice, but a norm. And is why homosexuals tend to be more sympathetic towards Islam over Christianity. And haven't we seen that, folks? I mean, Walid Shobat isn't making stuff up. Haven't we seen homosexuals align with Muslims? Don't we see them? And that's funny, isn't it? Because Muslims got no problem throwing you off of rooftops. But in the fight against Christianity, which holds people accountable for the aberrant behavior, it becomes enemy of my enemy. You bet. The proof to this is simple. All one has to do in order to understand Islamic history is to review ISIS, and they will see is a microcosm of the times of Muhammad and his companions, Khalid, Ali, Omar, Abu Bakr, including all the Muslim dynasties after them. Ghosts from a dark history past will miraculously were released from the depths of the pit into your social media and YouTube, all with the original mascara eyes, men, red dye henna beards, long hair like women, and this is, I guess, a reference to Revelation 9:8, and I haven't looked at that. Dress, sexual habits, including all the depraved, strange preferences, and unimaginable brutality. I segue to the religionofpeace.com. Yesterday, June 27th, Lamu, Kenya. 8 people killed, 17 injured. 4 children are among 8 people laid out by an Al-Shabaab improvised explosive device. On the 26th, a light day. Only 1 person killed in Afghanistan. Fundamentalists are suspected of gunning down a tribal elder at a mosque. I might have even read that one. Yeah, I did. So we only had 1 instance yesterday and the 26th. They had a light day after 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 acts of terrorism on the 25th of June. The Jihad Report from June 17th to June 23rd, 2017, 40 Islamic terrorist attacks around the world, 323 killed, 570 injured, 12 suicide blasts in 15 countries around the world. There is your unimaginable brutality, and no other ideology on this planet is conducting this unimaginable brutality. But I'll tell you what, there is another entity that has been practicing disgusting sexual behavior of incest, pedophilia, and homosexuality. Oh, there's another ideology doing that, and that clip is coming up in a couple of seconds here. What the Western analyst fails to consider is that the Muslim world underwent a period of Westernization in which the British Empire slowly rid us of the sickness of state in of the sickness of sate or sate in India. Yeah, when they took over India, right? Child brides throughout the Muslim world and to so much set up laws which collided with Sharia, but failing to completely obliterate it. Yeah, see, here's the conspiracy theories. Yeah, they didn't obliterate it, all right. Because they were going to use it later, and we continue. Detractors argue over ISIS, and we argue back, asking, how can these small band of Muslim terrorists transform a society in Syria and Iraq into a living hell? Well, they got financial support, folks. That's how. They counter, saying that ISIS is an unusual phenomenon which is different from the traditional Muslim culture. That's a lie. And we ask, since after the dismantlement of the Ottomans, was there anything that existed even close to a Muslim culture? In Egypt, where the hub of Muslim civilization thrived, there thrived British arts, which covered its ruins, and today we still have 50% of the Muslims in Egypt, or Muslim Protestants, fighting to keeping it that way, and is why these insist that they, alongside the Copt, that's the Coptic Christians, worship the same God concocting yet a new Islam which has never existed. Islam has a religion. In fact, the purest forms of Islam, Islam itself. Islam is ISIS, and ISIS is Islam in its purest form. Or critics will argue, how so, especially since ISIS' understanding of Islam has been debunked 1,000 times over by major Muslim theologians worldwide. They also exclaim, how dare you? Or honest expose, and I'm skipping down a little bit, argued on how Islam is the religion of sodomites, was written by Muslim Saudi writer Dr. Zaire Muhammad Jamil Qutbi, who laments, in parentheses, I guess it's Walid Shobat, I translated from Arabic, the Arab nation, and through its scholars, jurists, and intellectuals, think of the Muslim world as one of the best nations. Yeah. They say it is a nation like no other in the universe, but the fact is that went through periods of physical and moral degeneration that even history is embarrassed of. Yeah, well, it continues at the upper elites, folks. And that's where it counts. It continues with the imams. So, what is the common denominator between the Muslims in charge, these terrorist groups, and the New World Order? Well, I'm going to play this clip, and it's 15 minutes, and ladies and gentlemen, it is quite unsettling. And you're going to hear names, and I'm going to cut in real quick on who they are. Albert Pike, you're going to hear Aleister Crowley, and I forgot, but the other one will come, and I'll interject real quick, because we're running into OT. Here we go.
Freemasonry's best kept secret, ritual sodomy. Freemasons have gotten away with being a closeted homosexual organization all along due to amnesia of half the victims, and psychological denial of their own homosexuality by the bull fruit perps like Jerry Sandusky. By Billy Morgan. The initiation is metaphysical, so it doesn't matter whether it is done formally as an initiation, or informally Jerry Sandusky style. The Illuminati are a class of people that have this illumination in common whether the perp was a Freemason or not. Anyone that has experienced sodomy has been illuminated or initiated into the Luciferian initiation because Lucifer is real. No one will enter the New World Order unless he or she will make a pledge to worship Lucifer. No one will enter the New Age unless he will take a Luciferian initiation. David Spengler, leading figure in the 70s and 80s New Age movement and United Nations affiliated NGOs, Findhorn Foundation, Lindisfarne Association. This is why sodomy laws have been overturned almost worldwide since 1970. By 1996, Satanist rocker Marilyn Manson was literally selling sodomy to teens, and laughing all the way to the bank. See the lyrics for Manson's 1996 rock anthem, Cake and Sodomy, which middle school teens bought at shopping malls with their parents' money. Bible Belt round Anglo waist, putting sinners in their place. Yeah, right, great if you're so good explain the shit stains on your face. White trash get down on your knees, time for cake and sodomy. Time for cake and sodomy. The best kept secret of the esoteric grades of Freemasonry is ritual sodomy. They believe it opens the third eye to Luciferian illumination. It attacks the pressure point of nerves at the base of the spine, causing temporary neurological paralysis and a shift of consciousness. MKUltra survivors have testified that sodomy causes identity splits in children up to age 5, so it was standard for programming multiples.
I just want to stop right there, folks. Who's pushing the chakra stuff? Right? Who's pushing the third eye stuff? Who's pushing that? What group of people are pushing that stuff, folks? I'm just going to leave that out there. Okay? You see, this is what I said at the top of the show. Faiths or ideologies outside of Christianity are directly and indirectly complying with and sympathizing with this type of behavior. And do you know what the word I want? Condoning. Condoning this type of behavior. Directly or indirectly, which is why I said, you're either on the side of the cross or you're not. We continue.
In order to produce a mind-control slave, it must be done ideally between age 2 and 4. The pressure point causes memory blackout, which is why victims don't experience flashbacks before a physiological change in the brain occurs between age 28 and 32. When introduced at 11 or older, it doesn't cause splits, but initiates the victim or neophyte into the sadomasochistic brotherhood. The initiation is metaphysical, so it doesn't matter whether it is done formally as an initiation, or informally Jerry Sandusky style. The Illuminati are a class of people that have this illumination in common whether the perp was a Freemason or not.
Who's pushing metaphysics, folks? Because that's another hot nouveau riche thing that people are into. Chakras, metaphysics. Like I said, ladies and gentlemen, directly or indirectly.
Anyone that has experienced sodomy has been illuminated or initiated into the Luciferian initiation because Lucifer is real. No one will enter the New World Order unless he or she will make a pledge to worship Lucifer. No one will enter the New Age unless he will take a Luciferian initiation. David Spengler, leading figure in the 70s and 80s New Age movement and United Nations affiliated NGOs, Findhorn Foundation, Lindisfarne Association. This is why sodomy...
There's your answer, folks. This New Age movement. This New Age movement is right in the thick of it. Okay? Right in the thick of all this metaphysical, chakra, gray area, no right or wrong. They're right in on it, folks. They invoke spirits, don't they? What does the Bible say about that? Okay? So, we continue.
Laws have been overturned almost worldwide since 1970. By 1996, Satanist rocker Marilyn Manson was literally selling sodomy to teens, and laughing all the way to the bank. See the lyrics for Manson's 1996 rock anthem, Cake and Sodomy, which middle school teens bought at shopping malls with their parents' money. Bible Belt round Anglo waist, putting sinners in their place. Yeah, right, Great if you're so good, explain the shit stains on your face. White trash, get down on your knees, time for cake and sodomy. Time for cake and sodomy. Before he died, sodomite celebrity William S. Burroughs, left, said in an interview that Manson stole the line, "I am the god of FK," from a short story Burroughs wrote 50 years earlier. Freemasons have gotten away with being a closeted homosexual organization all along due to amnesia of half the victims, and psychological denial of their own homosexuality by the bull fruit perps like Sandusky. It's a Jekyll and Hyde thing. That's why so many politicians caught having public bathroom oral/anal sex, such as Indiana State Rep. Paul Hinkle and U.S. Senator Larry Craig, say, "But I'm not gay." It's tricky to explain to people that millions of Illuminati agents act completely autonomously. I don't think there is an organization with an address and meetings and such by that name. Illuminati are the people Satan's got under demonic obsession. It doesn't require what we're used to thinking of as secret groups with meetings and so on. What explains it is that there is a supernatural non-human counterforce behind the scenes. Satan and Legion are real. I think this is what Paul meant by the mystery of iniquity in his letter to the Thessalonians 2:7, "For the mystery of iniquity is already at work, only he who now lets will let, until he be taken out of the way." That is not to say that there isn't a network of conscious Satanists who occupy the positions of power in most organizations. Thus, the Illuminati control all organizations with plausible deniability. They get suspected, but never get convicted because they sit on the bench. The network extends to police, courts, media, so nothing happens, as was the case twice when avowed Satanist NSA General Michael Aquino, left, was caught, once in the Franklin, Omaha Procurator for Capitol Hill pedophile scandal, and again in the Presidio pedophile ring case. Satanist explains the rites of sodomy. September 30, 2010. Disclaimer: while I find this material disgusting, I am posting it for its educational value. The Illuminati adhere to these beliefs and take part in these practices. For the highest spiritual working, one must accordingly choose that victim which contains the greatest and purest force. A male child of perfect innocence and high intelligence is the most satisfactory and suitable victim. Aleister Crowley. The Mystical Doctrine. The Rites of the Hyena King Shem Eber. Dedicated to James D. Guckert, because little things can...
Aleister Crowley was a full-blown... openly practicing Satanist. I believe Aleister Crowley also... well, you know... he was an alchemist, but I doubt he ever turned... what do they try to do? They try to take something and turn it into gold. I forgot what the other mineral was. It doesn't happen. But he was an alchemist. I believe he was an alchemist. But Aleister Crowley, a very influential man in this New Age, New World Order business, a very evil man, an open Satanist. We continue.
Mean a lot. By Aloysius Fosdyke. For henrymacau.com. Of the Bloody Sacrifice, and Matters Cognate, pt. I. Chapt. 12. Magic. Sodomy is extremely important to the Alpha Lodge because we know that if you sodomize Eldabaoth, the deity you know as Jehovah, you get his power. It's just that simple, and this elementary principle has been followed for millennia by the Greeks, the Romans, the fascists.
Okay, now, when I had listened to this and I gave a comment to the author of this, I asked, what is that reference to Jehovah? Now, I don't think that it's a slight. I don't think this person is saying that Jehovah is an evil entity. I think that this goes back to Genesis 3:22. You see, they want to grab the power of Jehovah and be the gods of the earth. That's why it says in 3:22, and obviously God was speaking to his only begotten Son, firstborn of creation, Jesus, and the court of angels. And I've discussed that. That he would have, God would have regular meat. And at the time, then, you know, names have symbols. Back then, this was pre-Moses, so it was pre-Jehovah. It was Elohim or El Shaddai, which means God Almighty. So El Shaddai regularly assembled the court of archangels, and you see that in the book of Job. I'll stop there due to time constraints on that. But El Shaddai then became Jehovah, because Jehovah means I am who I shall prove to be. So I don't think this is a slight here. I think, again, that is what the New World Order, these Satanists, are trying to do. They're trying to grab the good power of Jehovah, I am who I shall prove to be, the all God, the only almighty God, the I am. Take that power and run with it, and to just see, man will destroy himself. That's why God, and be it literal or allegorical, that's why God put guards around the tree of life, so that he could not harness godly power, because humans can't handle that. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. Only the Almighty God, El Shaddai, or the total I am, Jehovah, can use that power for good. So I think that's the reference here. Not that they're summoning, I don't think this person is saying the entity of Jehovah is bad. I think what she, because it's a robotic thing. I think what's being said here is that they want to grab that tree of life somehow, get the power of Jehovah. They can't handle that, and then really destroy themselves with it. So that's what I believe that reference is being made to. We continue.
And left-hand path initiates. In its highest ranks, even British intelligence uses the back passage. When initiating children, the Alpha Lodge main...
Okay, now I got to stop right there. The reference was made to the left hand. You see, now back in the day, if you were left-handed, and we know that this isn't true, there are many good left-handed people, but it is funny that most of the recent presidents are left-handed, but that's because I'm left-handed. I don't think I'm evil. But if you showed left-handed dominance, people thought that you were of the devil, and actually, when parents saw that their children had left-handed tendencies, they would force them to become right-handers because of the right hand of, you know, Jesus sits on the right hand of God. So if you're right-handed, you're good. If you're left-handed, you're bad. Now, you see, using that reference, these whack jobs in the Freemasons and what have you have skewed that into, well, we're going to take the left-handed power. I believe that's what's being said here. We continue.
The younger the better, for a number of reasons I won't go into. Our methodology is that the child is deprived of food and sleep for days. Depending on how they react, sometimes beatings are employed. Occasionally the child is made to take part in sacrifices. The key is in the trauma, the complete destruction of the inner spirit. Then at the propitious moment, the child's third eye is opened so as to completely re-socialize them and open their psychic abilities. Those awakened retain the mindset of the age at which their awakening took place, and this mindset can be accessed in a number of ways and for a number of purposes. Moreover, and as Austin Osman Spare found, bum sex both benumbs, which allows the subconscious to be accessed without the conscious mind interfering, and binds. If binding is required, the penetration of the wand must occur at an upward angle so as to impress the nerves at the end of the spine and produce flashes of white light in the very mind of the initiate, enlightenment. The 11th degree of the Odo uses anal sex, as do a number of affiliated groupings. There is a reversal of the body's subtle energy flows that is achieved by the aristocratic virtue of whitewashing the rear entry. Since the proliferation of pornography, anal congress has established itself in the heterosexual world, where the wonders of rectal romance are plain to apprehend. You don't even require a trained eye. By divorcing sex from any meaning, it loses all meaning. Sex becomes an end in itself. Instead of lovers, there are sexual athletes. Love with all of its sentimental and cultural accretions is freed. Sodomy is normalized then consecrated. I've never been one for homosexual congress unless the individual manifested the middle pillar, encapsulating the feminine in a male body. After all, as the old saying goes, women are breeders, men are for love. In these regards, Asian men are far more feminine. Repressed homosexuals, in particular, display greater devotion. And by collecting the workings of such rites, acts of magic can be effectively grounded, talismans, etc., or used as a sacrament. We maintain that the eye of Hor is better than the mouth of Isis, whichever the gender involved. Freemasonry's secret homosexual agenda. This article, first posted in 2009, inspired a eureka moment. Of course. This is why so many politicians are gay, why heterosexuality is being repressed and homosexuality and pederasty foisted on us instead. It explains why the elite is gay, and phallic obelisks are everywhere. Humanity has been inducted into a pagan sex cult. This involves gendercide, i.e. gender genocide. Pike states that an initiate...
You cannot tell me that paganism is not surging in this country, in the United States, in particular. That's when I say in this country. You cannot tell me that it has not grown in the last 20 to 30 years, this pre-Christian Babylonian ideology, and that's just what it is. And it comes right out of what used to be referred to as the Orient. The Orient did not mean China and Japan. The Orient, back in biblical times, because the people of biblical times didn't even know that China and Japan existed yet. The Orient meant people of the East. And we're talking east of Israel, Mesopotamia, Chaldea, Babylonia, which is now Iraq, Iran, Syria maybe, but definitely Iraq and Iran, which was also Persia. So that's what we mean by the Orient. And it says right in the Bible that Job was one of the most, if not the prosperous man of the Orient. And you see, he stood out from the rest. And that's why he had God's favor. We continue.
Commemorates in sacramental observance this mysterious passion, and while partaking of the raw flesh of the victim, seems to be invigorated by a fresh draft from the fountain of universal life, hence the significance of the phallus. P.393. The esoteric all-male group known as Freemasonry, or Masonry, has been connected to homosexuality by a number of researchers. Why, you may...
Real quick, I forgot to mention, and she'll give his full name, but she said the name Pike. That refers to Albert Pike. And she's going to describe for you his ideology towards homosexuality and pedophilia. And by the way, we see throughout the country statues coming down of Robert E. Lee and other Confederate heroes, if you will. Well, you want to talk statues? Albert Pike has a statue of himself. Or let me word it this way. A statue of Albert Pike was erected a long time ago, and it's still existing in Washington, D.C. And there are no calls for that statue to come down. So let's take down Robert E. Lee, who was just, look, he was a Confederate general fighting for a cause that he believed in. He's part of American history. But Albert Pike, a Mason, and wait till you see what the rest of this audio and what this man wrote about, yet his statue is still up there in Washington, D.C., our nation's capital. We continue.
They ask, Albert Pike was sovereign grand commander of the Masonic Scottish Rite's southern jurisdiction from 1859 to 1891. He published a book called Morals and Dogma of the Ancient and Accepted Scottish Rite of Freemasonry in 1871. Citations from Pike's magnum opus will be featured here. Freemasons have a secret agenda. Like other esoteric groups and some fraternities, the Masons have secret doctrines and initiations. The homosexual agenda is hidden from the membership. Now, as Pike mysteriously put it, Freemasonry conceals its secrets from all except the adepts and sages, or the elect, and uses false explanations and misinterpretations of its symbols to mislead those who deserve only to be misled, to conceal the truth, which it calls light, from them, and to draw them away from it. Truth is not for those who are unworthy.
I just want to throw in real quick. Some people can come back at me and say, well, George Washington was the 33rd degree. Yeah, but you see what she said here? And if you read the book by Dan Brown, The Lost Symbol, just because you made it to the 33rd rung doesn't exactly mean that you were exposed to all of this. There are secret societies within secret societies. There are secret realms within secret realms. And I would venture to say, based on certain behaviors like, I don't know, Harry S. Truman being responsible for the communists winning in China over the nationals, and I've talked about that in the past, I'll probably talk about that again, as opposed to, at least on the surface that we know of, George Washington was a very righteous man and a very good man, and they were both 33rd degree Masons. But I submit to you that Harry S. Truman was in a secret society within a secret society that George Washington was never a part of. So we continue. 4 minutes left on this.
Or unable to receive it, or would pervert it. Instead of Masons stating their secrets secretly, they only obliquely impart them. Pike states, what the chiefs of the order really believed and taught, is indicated to the adepts by the hints contained in the high degrees of Freemasonry. Pike again, the symbols and ceremonies of Masonry have more than one meaning. They rather conceal than disclose the truth. They hint it only. More, we have hints, and not details, hints of the true objects and purposes of the mysteries. The mysteries are secret Masonic truths and secret initiatory rituals. Pike speaks in enigmas because he can only hint at Masonic secrets. Masons take oaths not to reveal the group's secrets. Upper-level Masons even keep secrets from lower-level Masons. According to Pike, a lower-level Mason is intentionally misled by false interpretations of Masonic symbols. It is not intended that he shall understand them the symbols, but it is intended that he shall imagine he understands them. Their true explication is reserved for the adepts, the princes of Masonry. Lower-level Masons are just dupes being used by the upper-level ones, the so-called princes of Masonry. Homosexuality. Are Masons using their power and influence to try to spread homosexual values? In the following enigmatic words, Pike seems to be saying that Mason adepts engage in homosexual oral sex. He states that an initiate commemorates in sacramental observance this mysterious passion, and while partaking of the raw flesh of the victim, seems to be invigorated by a fresh draught from the fountain of universal life, hence the significance of the phallus. P.393. As is his wont, Pike does not explain these words. For example, he does not spell out what he means by this mysterious passion. But elsewhere in the book he twice notes that phallic worship is a part of their ancient mysteries. Not only does homosexual sex apparently play a role in Masonry, but so do homosexual orgies. Pike, speaking in general of a newly initiated member, says, he mingles with the crowd of initiates, and, crowned with flowers, celebrates with them the holy orgies. Needless to say, Pike does not define holy orgy. In at least two other locations in his book he mentions that orgies are associated with Masonic initiations. Pike has a reputation for indulging in debaucheries as well as satanic butchery. Heterophobia. Now to return to Masonry, which, we should keep in mind, is an all-male group, Pike provides serious evidence of organizational sexism in Masonry via these words, "The love of woman cannot die out, and it has a terrible and uncontrollable fate." As usual, he does not explain what he means by this startling statement, but the heterophobic meaning seems obvious enough. Elsewhere he stated that Christianity gave to woman her proper rank and influence, it regulated domestic life. In some circles, it is a common opinion, misguided or not, that Christianity, especially Catholicism, places women at a lower rank than men because women cannot become priests or bishops or cardinals or popes and because wives are supposed to be submissive or subordinate to their husbands.
Yeah, I just want to say this. And I talked about this, was it Monday or maybe last week? The establishment church, and I told you this, the Church of Rome brokered a deal with Constantine, the emperor of Rome at the time, the Roman Empire, and Christianity was infused with paganism. So, Christianity in the religious aspect of it is not the Christianity that it was intended to be. Now, the only possible sexist remark, and is only one, that I could see someone making an argument for is when Paul said that women, when they go to church, have to wear a head covering out of respect. Now, that's it. And the other one that people could say, but this was explained to me and it makes sense, that when women, Paul said to women, don't interrupt the church service. If you've got a question, go home and ask. Because, you know, hey, 2,000 years ago in the synagogue, there was still that Jewish attachment. They didn't totally break away. There was still that Hebrew influence where when you went to synagogue, like Islam still does, women and men were separated. And it appears that in other historical writings that women would shout across to their husbands and, you know, how can you have a service when the audience is speaking over the speaker? So that's why Paul said that. Now, of course, you sit where you want to sit. You go to any Christian denomination. Husbands sit with their wives all the time, right? So, and it's just out of respect to be quiet anyway when the speaker is speaking. So, but the only sexist remark that I can see is women should have their head covered when they go to service. That's it. Because this part about being subservient to women, that is not, I mean, women being subservient to their husbands, that is not in the Bible, folks. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 explicitly states, men must surrender their bodies and their souls, rather, also to the woman, the wife, and the wife must do the same. It's an equal surrendering to. And that both parties have equal duties to each other. And that both parties don't deprive each other of sexual relations except what is agreed to for prayer time. It's both. It's an equal cooperative. Marriage is an equal cooperative. One does not dominate over the other. Now, yes, there is a respect. You can't have two generals. I mean, you know, it's not total servitude, but yes, there is an order of God, Jesus, the husband, and the wife, and the children. That is true in that ultimately, and there's nothing wrong with that, that the, you know, the man has certain roles and the women have certain roles. There's certain things men will never be able to do on a natural level, and that's like give birth to babies. And there are some things that the average woman cannot do, like, I don't know, carry a 200-pound 200-pound backpack and camouflage and go fight on the front lines, okay? It's just the way it is. But there is no servitude in the Christian scriptures. It's an equal relationship. So whatever the Catholic Church has done, be forewarned. The Catholic Church has been corrupted by paganism for the last 1,700 years. I just want to make that clear. We continue. Less than a minute left.
Generally speaking, in sum, while Pike does not explicitly declare that women are inferior to men, or that they are unworthy of love, but he does seem to strongly hint at that. Freemasonry is still a force in America and the world. The fact that this group is evidently biased against women, who cannot join, and biased in favor of homosexual relationships should not go unnoticed, and neither should the fact this group is using its influence to try to impose pro-homosexual values on the public. We'll end with a quote from Masonic author Carl H. Quadi: "The real secrets of Masonry are never told, not even mouth to ear. For the real secret of Masonry is spoken to your heart, and from it to that of your brother Mason. Never the language made for tongue may speak it, it is uttered only in the language of the eye, in those manifestations of that love which a man has for his friend, which passeth all other loves, even that of woman." Note those last four words.
And this is why I say to you that although George Washington was a 33rd degree Mason, it is my belief that he was not in that inner circle that's being discussed here. Not all 33rd degree Masons are brought in, because as this robotic voice said, who obviously I will refer to as she, stated that it's not even really spoken. It's more like felt. It's more delivered metaphysically, if you will, through the spirituality of Lucifer, if you will. So tomorrow, we're going to continue on with this in a way that I'm going to pose these questions to you. Why, after 7 years after 9/11, the United States of America elected a president named Barack Hussein Obama, and despite at least 30 crimes possibly committed by him as president, why he was so, and still to this day, is so protected, and why he will never, ever be brought to trial. My name is Michael B. This is the Truth Zone. We'll be back tomorrow live, 10 a.m. Central Time.